couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you are tuned to Fat Guys at the Movies. And wow. Kevin, I must start somewhere.
Okay, well, don't we all have to start somewhere?
You right. Well, I must
even
start
if you
with...
you start in the middle, you're starting somewhere.
Well, first I'm going to start with how you can get a hold of us. Welcome to Fat Guys the Movies. This week we are taking all kinds of different movies in. We're going to see what's inside the box or not. We're going to explore the phenomenon of the men who stare at goats. We're going to retell A Christmas Carol again. And... we are going to see if Kevin can withhold from spoiling the Fourth Kind.
No, there are definitely going to be Fourth Kind. Well, they're non-spoilers.
We're also going to discuss what a spoiler is. but first, here's how you can get a hold of us, and then I have some groundbreaking news, some life-shattering news.
Okay, you're pregnant.
No. The first...
your beard is pregnant.
Here's how you can get a hold of us. You can go over to fatguysthemovies.com. You can go to iTunes, just search... Fat Guys the Movies in the iTunes store, and subscribe to us, download us, review us. We appreciate that.
For some reason, our friend from Sweden, his review isn't showing up on iTunes.
That's because he says something nice about you. I delete all those.
Whatever. I'm going to beat you. I will drive down to Austin, Texas, and beat you with an olive loaf.
An olive loaf? Nice.
Yeah.
You can
Bloom County reference.
You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or give us a call, leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735.
Any voicemails this week?
Not that I know of. I haven't really checked them out.
People.
You can also get us on Twitter. You can get me at twitter.com/rejects. And Kevin Carr is twitter.com/KevinCarr with two R's. And so this week, I just found out that Steve Guttenberg, the Goot, is...
is he really called the Goot? Was that like
really
his football name in high school?
But he's saying that they're going to make another Three Men and a Baby movie.
This is the news? This is
this
what you're dropping on us?
This is shattering news. It's going to be called... because they did Three Men and a Baby, and then Three Men and a Little Lady, and now it's going to be Three Men and a Bride.
Oh, and a Bride? I thought it was going to be like Three Men and a Teenage Slut. Which I just wanted to
bring that up, because I feel like that is...
that could change the landscape of cinema, of American cinema, just that alone.
I know.
My question is, will Leonard Nimoy come back and direct it? He directed the first one.
I don't
He directed
know.
Three Men and a Baby.
Maybe.
Leonard Nimoy.
I mean, he's still around. He still needs things to do.
I saw him in a movie this year.
Well, he was in a movie and a television show this year.
Oh, yeah.
He was on Fringe.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so that's kind of like my news of the day.
Thanks for sucking the wind out of the entire show with that earth-shattering news about the Goot.
That was so.
Speaking about sucking the wind out of something, should we move on to our first review?
Yes, indeed.
Or non-review? We could call it a preview.
Well, yeah, this is kind of a preview of this fancy movie known as The Box, directed by Donnie Darko's Richard Kelly, in which a stranger visits a family and asks them to press a button on a box that will kill someone somewhere in the world, and hopefully also kill that terrible accent from Cameron Diaz. Nice.
Mrs. Lewis, I assume you received the box.
I have an offer to make. If you push the button, two things will happen. First, someone somewhere in the world whom you don't know will die. Second, you will receive a payment of $1 million. You have 24 hours.
Did you see this one?
No, nobody did. Well, I mean, I guess somebody did.
Well, I think there were some late Thursday night screenings of this. I had heard some rumblings among friends of mine, but not in Columbus.
No, so, I don't think in Austin. I don't know.
You know,
I don't get invited to stuff.
Warner Brothers has been doing this where they're not screening certain... they're only screening some movies. They choose to screen movies like 17 again.
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't screen something like this. They didn't screen The Time Traveler's Wife widely. They did that in limited screening. Same thing with Orphan and limited screenings.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Whiteout. I don't even think they screened anybody Whiteout for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
For good reason. So this one they didn't screen. I don't know. Here's the thing with this. I have a feeling it's going to be just like Southland Tales, where it looks like it's an awesome setup and it looks really cool. And then you go see the movie. And that house of cards just completely comes tumbling down.
Yeah, Richard Kelly really hasn't been the same since people started thinking that he was good.
Well, I mean, Donnie Darko was a good movie, but Southland Tales was not. It was so not a good movie. It wasn't even a movie. But it wasn't. It was not a good movie. So I'm not expecting this. It was a movie. But I mean, the box looks really cool. But I saw somebody when I was on Twitter the other day said, "Well, hey, it's a pretty simple premise. I'm sure that Richard Kelly is going to really make it convoluted and stupid."
Mm-hmm.
So
preemptive suck. Is this going to preemptive suck?
Totally preemptive suck. Let's move on to a movie you have seen.
I have seen this movie.
And I don't even know if this blurb of it is correct, so you go ahead and read it.
No, it is The Men Who Stare at Goats. It's George Clooney and Ewan McGregor play bumbling CIA agents, kind of, trying to use psychic techniques in their jobs.
My name is Bob Wilton. I'm a journalist. I've been investigating a story about a classified government program.
So what you're saying is that you were a psychic spy?
A Jedi warrior.
I'd heard that the U.S. government was training psychic soldiers, and that Lynn Cassidy was the best of the best.
I've been reactivated. I'm on a mission.
I could come. Lynn's story was unbelievable, crazy, and completely true.
Yep. I'm guessing you haven't seen this movie.
I've seen the trailers.
Anyway, so Ewan McGregor plays a reporter who is just trying to... he has like a problem at home, and his wife like leaves him for a dude with one arm. And so he goes to the Middle East.
That guy must be very, very good with his
other
arm.
It's very depressing. he goes to the Middle East because he wants to be a reporter in Iraq. And he meets this weird guy.
Wait. The reporter in Iraq or a reporter for The Rock?
No, he wants to go. He wants to be a reporter in the war in Iraq.
This has nothing to do with the wrestler, former wrestler.
Right, no. Nothing to do with
the
wrestler.
Movie and television star Dwayne Johnson. Nothing to do with it.
No, so he meets with this guy
who...
Wow, you're getting bored just explaining what the movie's about.
Anyway, so he meets with this guy played by George Clooney, who's a contractor, who turns out to be this crazy CIA agent who was part of this CIA squad started by the dude played by Jeff Bridges that they do psychic warfare and they can like do things with their mind. Like there's a scene where George Clooney's character sits down, stares at a goat and kills it.
Awesome.
Stops its heart by staring at it. And it's very funny.
Hence the title.
It's got a really interesting and very fun performance from Kevin Spacey as kind of like the bad guy in the whole movie. And it's very funny. When I saw it at Fantastic Fest and it was unfinished. So there were a lot of color correction issues and a lot of soundtrack issues. Like it was not put together yet. So I'm assuming once it gets put together, it'll be pretty good. It's actually the first movie from Grant Heslov, who has been George Clooney's producing partner forever. And it's his first directorial work. It's okay. I mean, it's funny. It's interesting. I would if you had to choose only one George Clooney movie in the next 2 months, though, I would probably wait for Up in the Air.
So is that going to show up on the DVD cover box? It's okay.
It's just it's aggressively okay. I would say kind of rocks. it's worth seeing if you really like kind of like these characters. It's funny. I don't know.
Cool.
We'll go to a break. All
right, we got to go to a break.
And we're back here on Fat Guys at the Movies, and now that I've given the poser quote of the year to The Men Who Stare at Goats, it's just okay.
It's totally okay.
There was do you know Dimitri Martin, right?
Oh yeah, I love Dimitri Martin. He's hilarious.
His comedy where he talks about bathroom wall, stuff people write on bathroom walls, and how it's always so either really angry or like really... like happy, like sexual. Yeah. It's always like it's like, you know.
Sometimes it's aggressively sexual. Let's admit
people that. Put like you know like God is good, and then somebody like crosses out like God sucks.
Okay.
And he said that he wanted to just go around and write Toy Story 2 was okay on the, you know. I guess it's better if he tells the joke. Yeah. But that's kind of my feeling on the Men Who Stare at Goats. You know, like, it's one of those movies that I want to tell people about, but I don't want. I'm not super excited about.
My favorite thing I saw written on a bathroom wall recently was I was at a Long John Silver's, like on mm-hmm. the border of Texas and Arkansas, right near Texarkana, mm-hmm. and somebody had written, "All hail the Führer," on the wall, and they misspelled Führer.
Nice.
Which was awesome. They're not doing anything to change the stereotypes in that nice. Specific neck of the woods there.
Seems about right. All right, cool. So moving on to another movie that
Good.
We're going to
yes.
talk about.
Yes, let's do it.
This is one that I have not seen. We're getting into two movies that I have not seen, one of which I skipped. Because I Kevin Carr spoiled it for me on Twitter, so I didn't even need to see it anymore.
I'm sure that happened, yes.
But the first is A Christmas Carol, and this is Jim Carrey as Ebenezer Scrooge and Robert Zemeckis as motion capture CGI adaptation of the classic Dickens story.
Christmas comes but once a year. But for one man...
Ah, humbug.
That's once... too often.
Is someone there?
He'll be given a second chance to get his life right.
It will be haunted by three spirits.
Expect the first tomorrow when the bell tolls one.
Couldn't I take them all at once and have it over with?
Now, you've seen this, right?
Yeah, I went and saw it, and this is the thing, it does work, and I gotta tell you, it does work, and it was a lot of fun. I brought my two oldest kids, 6 and 8, and they loved it. We saw it in IMAX 3D, and here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of just putting a movie in IMAX just to put it in IMAX, because it's just a big screen. But this kind of movie for digital IMAX projection in 3D, see it if you can see it that way, see it that way. I mean, it's cool on the regular big screen, but in 3D on the IMAX, it's really quite phenomenal to watch. Zemeckis has done...
I've heard that it's really much better on IMAX.
Yeah. This is not a movie that's going to lose a lot of its audience to piracy on iPhones. Let's just put it that way.
Fair enough.
I mean, and here's the thing. We all know the story. We've seen the story a dozen times all over the place, and every TV show has done their version of it. So it's mm-hmm. not, you know, it's nothing new in terms of story. So it's kind of nice. It's nice that it's this big spectacle because mm-hmm. it's different than what you're going to see elsewhere. And the characters, Zemeckis did The Polar Express and Beowulf, and the whole Uncanny Valley with the people has gotten better, mm-hmm. but they still look really kind of creepy. Mm-hmm. Although they do a lot of work on Jim Carrey, so he works. I think it works as a family movie. It does get a little scary, especially with the ghost scenes, because. Ooh. There's some intense moments, but I think it's almost more moments that are going to worry parents more than kids. Because I was surrounded by kids in the screening. They weren't fazed at all by the scary moments, but you could see the mm-hmm. parents were like worried that the kids would get scared. So mm-hmm. that's, and it does kind of have these, if you watch the Polar Express told this story, and then it had these big long diversions where they just had they're swooping around and the camera was flying over and doing all this kind of stuff. They have those mm-hmm. moments in the movie, so you can expect that. And it does get a little slapsticky at times, but I mean, for an adaptation of The Christmas Carol, you know what you're going to get with this. It's Jim Carrey in a CGI movie directed by Robert Zemeckis, so it's going to be out there. But I thought it was mm-hmm. I thought it was good. I mean, I think it's going to do monster business simply because I think it's appropriate for family audiences.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say Kind of Rocks.
Kind of Rocks.
Yeah. And what's funny is, you know what, if you go see it,
I see,
and you Twitter your response, and you include, if you follow at Disney Pictures and you include an at reply for at Disney Pictures and hashtag it with Scrooge, you're automatically entered into a $2,500 online gift card sweepstakes.
Mm-hmm. So for those of you who know what that means.
Yeah. So if you don't, then go look it up on the internet.
Fair enough. Okay, cool. So that's happening.
Yeah.
Moving on to, I'm going to let you introduce this next movie because
it's controversial.
I don't want to be responsible for whatever is going to happen once you introduce this movie. I would just like to say, spoiler alert.
I'm
going to
say spoiler alert, but here's the thing. You got to understand what a definition of the spoiler. This is not spoiling the story. It's not spoiling the movie. But if you mm-hmm. don't want to hear certain things about, I guess you'd say, the background of this movie, you might want to skip ahead. Anyways, this is The Fourth Kind. Mila Jovovich plays a psychologist who never existed researching UFO abduction cases that never happened.
I am actress Mila Jovovich, and I will be portraying Dr. Abigail Tyler. This film is a dramatization of events that occurred October 2000. Every scene in this movie is supported by archive footage. Some of what you're about to see is extremely disturbing.
I wake up in the middle of the night almost every night.
There's nothing unusual waking you up.
There's one thing. There's an owl at my window.
Tell me about the owl.
Tell me about the owl.
It doesn't look like a normal owl.
There's no owl. It's not an owl.
Here's the deal. If you've seen the trailers, as you heard in the trailer there, she's like, I'm Mila Jovovich. This is all totally true. Everything happened, and it's all based on archival evidence. It's not. There's the spoiler. If you can go a quick Google search, you will find out that all the stuff in this that they say is true is not. There's no case studies it's actually based on. And that's what got me in trouble. I tweeted this story out, and certain people who will remain nameless have taken me to task, saying I was spoiling it by letting people know that it's really not based on a true story. I contend that that's not a spoiler because it doesn't spoil the plot. All it does is it's like, hey, people, this really didn't happen. And the reason it bothers me, and this is why, I don't mind seeing a movie. If it's based on a true story, I think that's overused anyways. But a lot of times the based on a true story, you know it's not really based on a true story. But in this movie, they keep going, no, this is all absolutely true. This really happened, and this is the person, and they show...
Well, I think there's a rash of these movies...
But it's not even, what you mean, like Paranormal Activity, where they don't...
That people unfortunately think are real. Paranormal Activity wasn't trying to sell anyone that it was like a real thing.
Well, no, but it wasn't. But if you watch the movie, it's like, oh, this... It presents it as if
it's... They leave
it
to you to figure out.
Like Cloverfield obviously wasn't real, but when you start out, they say, well, we found this tape and blah, 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 you know?
Right.
But what other movies would you say are like this? I think this goes to an extreme on that.
Well, it's just like two in the matter of a month. Oh. Between this and Paranormal Activity.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is with this is if you watch the movie about 30 minutes in, you sit there and you're like, okay, well, that's probably not real footage because I don't think they would release that. And then you get later on and you're like, well, that looks like a special effect. And I'm pretty sure that didn't happen. So if you watch the movie, you can figure out that it's not real. But what bothers me about it, it wasn't even based on anything real. It's just completely fabricated from frame one to the end. And it reminds, and this is what bothers me about it, is... It all hinges on this whole, it's real, because all the other elements, character and story and plot, are very secondary to this, let's show the real footage, like literally split screen right to next to the quote-unquote reenactment. And it reminds me of what it's like. Have you ever had somebody on April 1st come to you and like say, oh, blah, 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 and you're like, oh, yeah, no, really, it's April Fool's. You got, okay, cool. And you're like, no, it's not an April Fool's joke. And you're like, no, really, it's April 1st, and you're telling me something ridiculous. It's an April Fool's joke. And they're like, no, it's seriously, I'm not telling you an April Fool's joke at all. This is really happening. And then you're like, oh, really? And they go, April Fool's, I got you. And you're like, no, you didn't get me. You just completely lied me into just sort of maybe accepting it. And and that's the way this movie feels. It all hinges upon this, it could happen. And it's very creepy. I mean, it's effectively done, and it has sort of that atmosphere of the strangers. What the heck? Oh my gosh! The ice cream truck just
honking.
Ice cream truck just pulled up outside. it has a good atmosphere, but it spends so much time trying to insist that it's real that it sloughs everything off of character and story. It has an atmosphere of The Strangers, if you remember that movie from about a year or so ago. But The Strangers worked as a suspense movie. And they said The Strangers was based on a true story very, very loosely. But it doesn't matter if you knew that this wasn't exactly what happened. But this movie, it's such a blatant grab. And then they're so lazy about it, because if you go to their website, they like don't link to anything. And then if you search this person, you come up with websites that are like created in August.
Yeah.
You know, it has its scare moments, but ultimately it's nothing happens though. I mean, there's not enough that happens. So I'm going to say this thing sucks.
Okay.
So take
totally
that.
Totally sucks. And with that, we shall return.
a hard road. 33 years of tough luck. 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies, and this is the segment entitled The Box Office Review.
This is it, Kevin.
Also known as Kevin's chance to gloat all over Neil.
Why?
Because I was right.
I don't really remember last week, so...
I believe that you were predicting between 50 and 70 million for the weekend performance of Michael Jackson's This Is It.
That did not happen.
I believe my words were, it's going to be under 50, it's going to be lucky if it gets to 40. I was even off on that. It made a paltry $23 million over its 3 days. Over its 5 days, it was 30-some odd. And here's the thing with the Michael Jackson movie. This is what pisses me off about the box office coverage. Every announcement of box office for this movie was a big disappointment. I mean, it was like they're saying, oh, it's going to make $250 million worldwide. It only made $100, which isn't bad. But for the only movie opening with this much hype and a prediction of $250, $100 million is just a crappy box office. They said it was going to be $70 million or more for the five-day spread. It was less than half that. Mm-hmm. And then they come out and they say, Sony's like, no, it's a fantastic success. It's the best opening for any concert movie ever, which is like they've made like
saying much.
Well, they've made a dozen of them. That's the thing. And then they go on to say, oh, it sailed past the Miley Cyrus movie. And I'm not going to be, this is not a big defense of the Miley Cyrus movie, but I'm like, let's just put on the realism hat here. Mm-hmm. It made less in the first 5 days than the Miley Cyrus movie made in like 1/5 of the theaters over its first 3 day weekend. And yes, internationally it surpassed it because the Miley Cyrus movie had almost no box office internationally, like 4 million or something like that. But this is Michael Jackson. It was the only movie in the theaters. It was supposed to be this huge phenomenon, and it fizzled rather than sizzled, to use some sort of like, you know, E box office quote. But the thing is, then all the like the news, like AP and stuff like that, were like, oh, Sony says it's a huge success. And I'm like, it's the highest grossing Wednesday on record for October, which they've had like, which is just pathetic.
I'm sure at some point Fat Guys of the Movies has been the most listened to podcast for film on a Tuesday morning between the hours of 10 and noon.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, when you put all these qualifiers on it, really, if you look at the box office performance, this is closer to the Jonas Brothers concert, which was considered a huge disappointment. You know, so the bottom line,
you know, whatever. I don't know. It's going to sell a lot of DVDs and T-shirts and stuff.
Well, I don't think so. I really think this is my prediction for this weekend for the box office for Michael Jackson's This Is It. You will see a drop in ticket sales unlike any you have ever seen before in October or November. You know,
interesting.
Because I really think you're going to see 70% or more drop off on this movie for its second week.
That's a bold
domestically
prediction.
Well, domestically. But yeah. I think everyone who saw it saw it. I mean, it's getting some play, but you've got four movies opening this weekend, one of which being the Disney's The Christmas Carol, which is kicking off the holiday season. It's a Disney movie. It's worth for families.
People have the horror movie hangover, essentially.
Yeah.
I would argue that that's why The Fourth Kind isn't going to do as well this week. I would put The Fourth Kind maybe in the top five.
Yeah, I think The Fourth Kind isn't going to do well.
Because everyone has just gotten done seeing Paranormal Activity and Halloween, and I think that it's time to move on to something else.
If The Fourth Kind was released last weekend against Michael Jackson's This Is It, I think it would have done a lot better than it will this week. I just don't think it's going to have any steam because it's like releasing a Christmas movie on January 1st.
Right.
So.
Right, and then Box. I don't know, The Box is another thriller. And I don't think there's enough.
I don't feel any sort of excitement for The Box. I mean, because the thing is, Richard Kelly should have a certain amount of excitement from Donnie Darko fans, but I think after Southland Tales and then that S. Darko that was out on Fox.
He was barely involved in. But
yeah. But I mean he's connected to it. He had credit wise. But the whole thing is I think people are just like, yeah, you gotta really, no pun intended, think outside, do something outside of the box to make this one work. I really don't think the box is going to do well. I think the Men at Stare at Goats is going to be modest, but...
Yeah, it's just, it's the Clooney factor.
It's all going to be the Christmas Carol. I think Christmas Carol is going to just clean up. It's going to be like $70 million on the weekend. It's going to do what Michael Jackson's This Is It should have done.
That sounds about right. I'm willing to concede that and move on.
Yeah, that's a swag.
Yes.
Just a stupid, wild-ass guess.
Anyway, so let's move on to the Fat Guy 5 this week.
I got two things. I didn't put these on the show notes. Two real quick news. First of all, I want to let people know, I was a guest on Criterion Cast.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I figured this would be a place to mention it. We talk about the movie Brazil, Terry Gilliam's Brazil.
Oh, very cool.
And the guys, Rudy, Travis, and Ryan were very, very gracious hosts for me on Criterion Cast. So go, we'll put a link in the show notes, listen to it, and give them some love too. Buy some Criterions off of their website, and you can help support the cause. And then also one little note, I wrapped up the 31 days of October, horror movies in October that I was live tweeting, which really worked out to be about 25 because I missed a couple days just because I got sick and had family stuff going on, but I came pretty close. So I've had people, believe it or not, have asked what I'm doing for November. I'm not doing them every day, but I'm going to start tweeting turkeys.
Turkey movies.
Do you get it? Turkeys. So like bad movies.
Gotcha.
Bad movies. So if you have suggestions for bad movies.
We actually got a suggestion. I think I can say this on the radio. Yeah, we're in segment three. It's good.
Yes, we're in segment three.
But I got a suggestion from a film school rejects reader because we did the similar 31 Days of Horror that we should do in like February or January. Do 31 Days of Horrors.
Yes.
Or however many days are in those months. And just do movies with horrors in them.
Awesome. I'm sure that
I think you would participate pretty heavily if we did something like that.
Something tells me the 31 Days of Horrors would probably have about the same writing crew that was for the 31 Days of Horror.
Oh, the exact same writing crew, sure.
So, but yeah, if you have suggestions for turkeys, please either send them to Fat Guys, put them on the comments, or send me a tweet, Kevin Carr.
Tweet me, Twitter/Kevin Carr.
So let me know, and I will start doing those in the next week. Now let's move on to Fat Guy 5.
All right, Fat Guy 5 time. Oh, man, I already forgot what it was. No, just kidding. Five great UFO movies, and we're starting with my all-time favorite UFO movie.
Yes.
Which is Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yes. Which has nothing to do with the fourth kind.
Yes, which I guess an honorable mention could go to Monsters vs. Aliens for then taking and using the tones from Close Encounters, and yes, in the scene where the president communicates with the aliens, but exactly. Definitely all time greatest. I've only seen two of the other four movies on this list. So,
have you seen the next one, which is Fire in the Sky?
No, I have not.
This is a dramatic retelling of the Travis Walton case. Again, based on a true story, the Travis Walton case exists, whether or not you believe it's real. It exists. He was a guy who was who claims to be abducted and experiments done on him and that sort of thing. The movie, it's not very accurate.
I might have seen this. Who was in this?
D.B. Sweeney and Robert Patrick and James Gardner.
Yeah, I think I saw this one, actually.
Yeah, now here's the thing.
It's been on TBS several hundred times.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and you know who else is in it? What's his name? The director of Hancock. Peter Berg's in it. When he was an actor, not a director. But D.B. Sweeney plays Travis Walton, and it's a story about a guy who gets abducted. Like I said, the movie is not a very accurate telling of the Travis Walton case, but it is very creepy and it's scary. It came out right around when the X-Files started to hit big. So it kind of had that excitement to it. And then to another movie that's based on a true story, Invaders from Mars. Have you seen this one?
I have not.
This one, and not the original, although the original's campy, goofy 50s movies. The 80s remake by Tobe Hooper is an absolute scream. It's hilarious. It's one of the horror sci-fi comedies that everyone forgets about from the 80s. And it stars Oscar winner Jessica Fletcher eating a frog. So.
Interesting.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, I showed it to my kids. It was a lot of fun.
It's similar to Mars Attacks, maybe?
Sort of. Well, no, not really. But, no, it's a goofy fit. But actually, Mars Attacks is a good one. We should have put that on the list. But we didn't. And instead, we put
Plan 9 from Outer Space.
I'm assuming you've seen this one.
We saw this at the marathon, didn't we?
Did we?
Yeah.
Not the one you went to.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. No.
Yeah.
No. We saw The Day the Earth Stood Still.
No. Why is that not on this list?
Because I didn't like it.
The original Day the Earth Stood Still.
No, I didn't like the original The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Whatever.
Preachy.
Plan 9
preachy.
Is, yeah, they resurrect dead humans as zombies and vampires to stop humankind from creating
They didn't show it at the... You've seen it a million times.
I've seen it from somewhere else then.
Well, you've probably seen it before. What's kind of cool is...
From 1959.
Do you know who the Riff Trax guys are? They're the old MST guys.
Yeah.
They have been doing a live... It was sort of like a satellite show through... Oh, what's it called? It's the Fathom Events, if you go to the digital projection theaters,
mm-hmm.
where they'll do like a live riff of Plan 9, which is a lot of fun because you get to see it in an audience, depending on if you get a mm-hmm. big enough audience. And I went and saw it when they did it, like, I don't know when they did that, like in August or something like that, July mm-hmm. or August. It was a lot of fun. And then the last one,
mm-hmm.
Alien Autopsy.
The actual Alien Autopsy.
Did you ever see this? It was a TV special by Fox of... The reported alien autopsy of the Roswell aliens
mm-hmm.
from 1949? Was it 1949?
Spoiler alert, I don't know if it's real.
Well, yeah. Well, what's funny is it was this thing that supposedly somebody found, and then this guy put the footage together and bought it. And it's one of the most controversial things because even it caused fights within the UFO community because people were saying, was it real? Was it not? And it probably wasn't,
mm-hmm.
you know, but...
I'm actually watching it right now.
Oh, would you do? Get it up on YouTube or something?
Yeah, on the YouTube.
Yeah, because and then there are people who say, no, that wasn't from that crash. It was from a crash that happened in 1957. And it was one of those things that just caused a huge... It made more news within the UFO community than outside the UFO community.
Yeah.
But if you go to the Roswell Museum, the UFO Museum in Roswell, New Mexico,
mm-hmm.
they have it's not from that movie, obviously. It was from the Roswell movie they made with Kyle MacLachlan.
Mm-hmm.
They actually have the model of the alien from one of the movies, and it looks pretty doggone real. I mean, it's a model, but it's kind of cool mm-hmm. to go to the museum. Have you ever been to the Roswell Museum? It's awesome.
No. I've never been to Roswell, New Mexico.
It's really funny because it's like Roswell is known for like aliens and like milk or something like that. They got like some obscure agricultural note.
Oh.
So. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways.
That's
the Fat Guy Five.
It's time to go to a break. We'll come back. And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies. And now, for something completely different, we're going to move on from talking about UFO movies and Kevin's trips to Roswell, New Mexico.
Yes.
If you missed the third segment, if you're listening to us somewhere that they don't play the third segment, please get online and listen to that. It's riveting. I almost stayed awake for the whole thing.
Wow.
Anyways, it is time... As we always do for the DVD Roundup. And we're going to start this week with my picks. I've got a few really yep. exciting Blu-rays coming out this week.
Yes.
You have the Watchmen Ultimate Cut, which is the entire story put together with the motion comic. Not the motion comic, but the movie and the tale of the Black Freighter is like mixed in there the way it is in the book. So it's like a 13-hour long movie.
Wow. I'm kind of glad I wasn't sent that one to review.
If you buy it and that, you know, if you buy it and watch the whole thing, it's, you know.
Wow.
You win.
You ran out of steam on that one.
I really did. I don't really have a lot to say about this except that it's the longest movie that you could possibly see this year.
Yes.
Without watching Lawrence of Arabia. And also North by Northwest on Blu-ray looks absolutely beautiful. I would highly recommend picking it up.
And you know what they do, what Warner does now, is they're putting out their like classic releases with little books in them too. Which yeah. the North by Northwest has a
it's
book.
It's very cool.
Willy
they
Wonka.
Did that with I actually got Poltergeist.
Did Poltergeist do that? They did it with Willy Wonka. They did that with 300, where you get this little, which is really cool. You know, it's this little booklet that talks about the movie, which is awesome.
Yeah. And then also, let's see, G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra, which I picked up this week and watched and enjoyed again.
I hear there's a very hilarious drinking game. Did you use the drinking game while you watched that?
We did. I did not use the drinking game, but...
But you drank while you watched it, didn't you?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. What else is on my list? Oh, the National Lampoon thing. Sorry, just having.
Wow, how hard is it? Where's my list? I just have four.
The official, humongous, awesome collector set of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is out on Blu-ray.
It comes with a cat that's been burned and electrocuted.
Pretty much. It also comes with a toupee.
Awesome. Really?
No, oh, that's not that true. That would be pretty awesome. I haven't gotten mine yet, so we'll see what it comes with.
Cool.
But it's very, very cool.
Awesome.
So pick that up. But all right, that's what I got. What do you got there?
Well, I'm gonna run through a couple. First, I want to give a little bit of a play. This one came out a couple weeks ago, but it's The 11th Hour, which stars Rufus Sewell and Marley Shelton, who's totally hot. And it's sort of like a Fringe meets House kind of thing, where you know, sort of with a little bit of a mentalist thrown in there, where they're these people who kind of solve they're FBI people that go and find these. Kind of solve these cases that are odd or bizarre, not so much aliens as much as just weird medical issues and that sort of thing. But it's a neat show. It's sad that CBS canceled it. Also, the Rocky Undisputed Collection, you get all the Rocky movies in one set.
I was so disappointed that I didn't get that yet.
It's Undisputed, man.
I'm Undisputed.
Disney Treasures, which are fantastic box sets that they've been putting out for the last 5-6 years. They come out with Zorro, the old Zorro TV show from like the 50s, season 1 and 2, in these Disney Treasure collection. They're really neat. They're coming commemorative tins with they're numbered, so there's only so many of them made. There's a couple Blu-rays. You've got Say Anything coming out on Blu-ray, Two Girls and a Guy on Blu-ray, and for ones that are Love Actually's on Blu-ray this week as well. Some movies that are new this week: I Love You, Beth Cooper, which wasn't that good, but you know, hey. The Dead, which is John Huston's last movie apparently, and Aliens in the Attic. Did you see Aliens in the Attic?
Mm-mm.
That's a great little movie. I liked it, and more and more I do.
I'll Netflix it. I think
it's funny. If you liked Critters when you were, you know, from the 80s, that movie Critters, it reminds me a lot of that. And then you know, since you know we've got although we got A Christmas Carol out, you have a new Disney Mickey's Magical Christmas is out as well on DVD.
Oh.
So you can watch that with Mickey's Christmas Carol, which came out on DVD a couple weeks ago. So you can get both of those. Probably can buy them at Amazon in a double pack for cheap.
For like $10.
Yeah. What are the stinkers? You're the one who's rocking the stinkers this week.
Oh, the stinkers. It's a very clear selection. Where we have Hardwired, which is the Cuba Gooding Jr. Val Kilmer crime drama.
Two powerhouse names.
Straight to DVD. Yeah. And Clone Wars, Star Wars The Clone Wars Season 1, despite not being good, they still seem to want to make them.
I like the cartoon's fun.
Sure.
Whatever, I guess. I'm going to punch you.
Time to wrap up our reviews. Neither one of us saw The Box, so that gets preemptive sunk.
Yes.
I saw The Men Who Stare at Goats and said it kind of rocks and is totally okay.
It's fiercely mediocre.
Yes. Kevin Carr saw Christmas Carol and said...
It kind of rocks.
And The Fourth Kind, which, I mean, you might as well not even go see now because he spoiled it.
It sucks, but, and it's totally not true.
And then next week we've got a big slate. We've got 2012, we've got Pirate Radio, and I believe, are we talking about Precious next week?
Maybe. Depends on how big the...
Maybe.
I don't know whether I'm going to get a screening of that, so I might have to...
Okay. Well, we might or may not talk about Precious in
I'm
the meantime.
I'm crossing my fingers that I really don't want to see that movie.
I saw it. I really liked it.
I heard you saw it before Oprah saw it.
I saw it before Oprah saw it. Take that, Oprah.
Wow.
Also, in the meantime, you can get a hold of us at fatguysthemovies.com. Email us fatguysfilmschoolrejects.com or follow us on Twitter all week long, twitter.com/rejects for me and twitter.com/KevinCarr with 2 R's for Kevin Carr. Until then, we bid you adieu.
Bah, humbug.
do it, do it, do it.